We're going to have a quick class on some tips on how to get the most out of your time at Machon Meir. And the first question we have to ask is, what do you want to get out of your time at Machon Meir? When we speak about the most, well, what do you want to get out of Machon Meir? So our goal is to help a person, I shouldn't say our goal, my understanding of Machon Meir's goal. You know, different rabbis here will word it slightly differently. But my understanding of our goal here is that we're here to help people realize their potential, maximize their potential in a calm atmosphere, in a happy atmosphere, and develop to be productive members of society, all the while develop their Shmirat Torah and Mitzvot. So that means that a person has to walk away from here mature, developed, with self-confidence, with an understanding, and with the basis upon which to continue growing. Our goal is to continue. This is the starting point. It's not the end point. So if those are our goals, so I want to start with some things that maybe are less traditional, but less classical, but still they're important. You come to yeshiva, obviously you want to learn Torah. And we're going to discuss that a lot. But one of the things you should acquire in yeshiva is also happiness and hope, and optimism, and a positive outlook on life and on people. Now, you could sit in the same class and walk away with different things. One of the things I think you should take away from Rav Bigon is his genteel and his positive outlook on life. I saw Rav Bigon the week that Jews were expelled from Gush Katif. I saw Rav Bigon the week his son passed away. I saw Rav Bigon the week his wife was diagnosed with cancer. I've seen Rav Bigon in the past decade in many harsh circumstances. And to me, one of the great lessons that Rav Bigon keeps teaching is how to smile and continue forging ahead in life with a smile. And that's one of the strengths that emunah and bitachon and understanding of Torah and of life should give a person. But you have to be sensitive to that. The classes don't focus on that. But that's one of the tools you should get. People might err and think that the more Torah you learn, the more uptight you're going to be. Every second is another mitzvah. Wait a second, do I put on the left shoe first or the right shoe first? And it's so complicated. How many times do I wrap it around? And the seven times, does it include the one around the hand? Does it include the one around the arm? Don't be uptight. Torah is fun. Mitzvahs are fun. Some mitzvahs are fun and some are more fun. I'm not denying that Yom Kippur is a little bit different fun than Purim, right? There's one type of fun and another type of fun. Fine, but the general approach, part of what you should get from the teachers at Machon Meir is the happiness in mitzvot, the happiness in life, the approach to humanity, the approach to other people. That's something to tap into here. And that, to my mind, is part of emulating one's teachers. See who you like, who you connect to, who you resonate with. And I always feel like I learn from Midot when I see someone else who has that trait, then I can try to emulate them and I can better try to develop that trait within myself. Far better than reading any book. That's personally, to me, that's one of the things I try to learn from teachers. And that's one of the things I think you should try to get from the Machon. I think you should try to get an understanding of how to lead a family life, which means going to families for Shabbat, going away for meals, get a picture of how husbands and wife treat one another, get a picture of what derech eretz, what's common courtesy. Even if someone grew up in a house where people would emit all kinds of sounds during the meal, then maybe you see that people don't do that when you go out, so then maybe a person should adopt what he sees other people are doing. And there are all kinds of norms that people grow up with, and suddenly they should be open to the fact that maybe it's not the norm. We each look at someone else's house and say, they grew up in a barn, but I grew up in a castle. Well, maybe not. Maybe my castle is their barn. I should pay attention. So those are a few things which we might have overlooked as assets when we come here. The key to optimism, to positive outlook about life and humanity and Torah, to a calm approach, to a balanced approach. It's important to go on trips. It's important when the machon goes on trips to go with the machon. One of the things you want to acquire in the machon are friendships. You're learning with people. It's a tremendous asset if when you leave the machon, you're connected to them. You build contacts. When people go to Harvard, they say, or Oxford, they say, part of what I'm getting are the contacts. The people who I'm studying with are the leaders of the next generation. Okay, so I don't know if the people you're studying with here are the leaders of the next generation, but they're definitely wonderful, positive people. And the journey you're going to go on is a similar journey. Doesn't matter what path you go in terms of your livelihood, but the path of a Chozer B'Tshuva is similar. And it gives a tremendous strength if you build that bond, if you have other people who you're connected to. So that's up to you. Before we touch on what might have been the most basic point you meant to discuss tonight, that you intended we should discuss, the point of how to get the most out of your studies, I want to add a few more points that we might overlook when we come to the Machon. The Mishnah says, not only k'nei lecha chaver, acquire a friend, but also asei lecha rav, make for yourself a teacher. It doesn't have to be from the Machon. We've had students here who connected to Rav Lopez. We've had students here who connected to the Rav of the Yemenite Shul in Givat Shaul. We have students here who go to Rabbi Beryl Wein. I'm not telling you who your rabbi should be, but in the course of your learning, that should be one of the goals, to also acquire a Rebbe. You shouldn't walk away and say, gee, I know this rabbi says this, and that rabbi says that. What do I do with my life? You end up confused. It's important to have a Rebbe. Okay, we'll discuss learning a little bit, and then maybe we'll come back to a few other points. Again, before we discuss learning, an intro. Very often people gauge what they get out of a learning institution like Machon Meir based on information. But you have to remember that we're working on building a way of life. Torah is a way of life. And Torah involves a spiritual connection, an emotional connection, a level of comfort in observance of mitzvot. So Torah, your advancement in Machon cannot be gauged simply based on how many laws do you know now? How much Talmud have you covered? How well can you study a piece of Tanakh or Mishnah or Gemara? Don't look at it that way. You're acquiring many things at Machon Meir. One of them is Torah knowledge, but it's not only Torah knowledge. It's also a connection to Torah and mitzvot, and that cannot be gauged. You have to see on yourself. And sometimes a person feels frustrated. The guy next to me already advanced to the next class. He's moving forward, and where am I? That's not a gauge. One of the things that hinders people's growth is that they compare themselves to other people. But that's not fair. We each have to grow in our own realm. And you have one guy who walks into the Machon Meir and he doesn't feel like keeping Shabbos or putting on tefillin. And you have another guy who's already keeping Shabbos and putting on tefillin. And what he has to do is learn Gemara. So they have different tasks. They have different goals. You can't compare one to the other. Could be that this guy, he's keeping Shabbos and putting on tefillin, and he's an ace. He's doing great. So what if his Gemara skills aren't great? So he's working very hard to develop other skills. It's very hard for him to get up for Shachris. It's very hard for him to put on tefillin every day. So that's why, A, don't compare yourself to other people. B, look at yourselves positively and see that your advancement and your growth is not only gauged based on knowledge. It's gauged based on a more holistic approach to Torah observance. We're not just looking at knowledge. It's not only about information. The Machon Meir experience is about a holistic approach to Judaism. You want to be comfortable. You want to be comfortable with the idea that you're talking to the Ribon Shalom when you're davening. You can't take that for granted. Some people have said to me, coming to the Machon, you know, I've never in my life had a meaningful prayer. So if that person, after a few months of studying, now has a meaningful prayer, so he's accomplished a lot. Even though informationally he might say, but I don't know the halachot of Shabbat yet. I don't know the 39 tasks that are prohibited. True. But you cannot gauge your growth in Machon Meir based on information alone. You're getting much more out of your time at Machon Meir, so be positive about it. See what you're getting out of it. Now we get to the learning, okay? When we speak about learning, so there are two types of learning. There's skills and information, okay? Skills and information. If I began with all the things that we might overlook in studying at Machon Meir, now I want to touch on something which you don't want to hear, but you have to hear. Okay? I warned you. People don't want to hear that one of the most important things they can do here at Machon Meir is learn Hebrew. Because it's hard. Ulpan is hard. One of the biggest mistakes people make is that they drop out of Ulpan. It's a classical mistake because it's very hard. I don't know which of you dropped out of Ulpan. I'm not talking to anyone specific. I really don't know. I have no idea. I had it easy. My first language was Hebrew. And my parents were careful to talk Hebrew when we left to the United States. So I never had to do Ulpan. I don't know the first thing about learning a language. But I do know that when I began at Machon Meir, my first classes used to be at 6:45. And the guys would come to me straight from Ulpan. And they'd be looking like they just got electrocuted. Their hairs would be, their hair would be fizzled out to here, and their eyes would be like wide and boggled a little bit and a little bit bloodshot. And they'd sit there looking at me like, Rabbi, what'd you say again? Like, and I could see their minds were fizzled. So I could see that they were, their hair wasn't out to there, say that, right? But you understand, figuratively, you understand that it was very hard. I really saw that these guys, in all their sincerity and their desire to learn Torah, after 2.5-3 hours of Ulpan, their brains were fizzled. You know, that's why I started giving candies in the beginning. Ah, you get candy, you got that. But it's true. You have to do it. It's one of the biggest mistakes people make. They drop out of Ulpan and they tell themselves, I'm learning Torah during that time, so I'm not really losing anything. No. You got to get the language. If you get the language, you'll be able to soar. You'll be able to succeed in Israeli society. You'll be able to learn all the different books of Torah. You have to learn Hebrew. As hard as it is, force yourself. You got to do it. And part of learning Hebrew is integrating into the Israeli society. I hear there's this lounge called the American Rooms in Machon Meir. Didn't used to be this way. This is a new thing here. I recommend you get out. Go suffer some with the Israelis in those rooms where you have 8 or 10 people in a room. I hope they don't publicize this. go, you need Israeli roommates, you need Israeli friends. Don't just sit in American clique. On the one hand, I just said you need to have a friend, you need to develop friendships, and that's part of what you're getting out of here. But force yourself one meal a day to sit with the Israelis. Go live through some tss, and arms flashing across your face as they reach for something. And they get used to it, so what? They're part of the people of Israel, right? And they're the majority here, we're the minority. So sit down and talk some heated politics with him, even though you don't understand what he's talking about. You could argue with him, make it an interesting conversation. Talk to them. You're here in the same base medrash with them, and if you're man enough, then switch out of these comfy rooms for Americans and go be with Israelis. Go to a room where you'll be forced to talk Hebrew, where you'll be forced to develop relationships with Israelis, and try to get a chavrusa at least once a day with an Israeli for 20 minutes, a half hour. Learn with an Israeli. Learn the language. So you won't understand the English and you won't understand the Hebrew and it will be perfect. But you'll get there. You'll get there. You have to develop it. You know, we went on the trip today and it was nice to see you guys together. But it would have also been nice to see some interactions with the Israelis. You guys have to aspire to that. And if possible, I don't know how to do this. You should talk to Dani a little bit about this. You should get invited out to Shabbos. Go spend the Shabbos where no one speaks English. Go. It'll be interesting. They'll offer you Hawaij. And you'll say, what's that? And they'll say, try it. And you'll be burning in the mouth and it'll be okay. You'll always remember what Hawaij is. That's fine. Hawaij. What's Hawaij? Go see. Go find out. Say that. Go. Bekitzer. I'm sorry, I have to pause our pizza. Now, no, thank you. So learning Hebrew is a skill. Learning Torah, you need the skills in order to learn Torah, but you also need information. And that's why I recommend you divide your time, your free time. Part of the time, you speak to Israelis, you take an Israeli chavruta, and then you'll be covering less ground, you'll get less information, but you'll be developing the skill of learning Hebrew, of understanding Hebrew, speaking Hebrew. You also need to gain information, and that's why I recommend you take a Hebrew-English Tanakh, study Tanakh. You take a Hebrew-English Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you learn some halacha, because when we're learning information, so then we can't always work on developing our skills. We just need to learn the information. So that's why part of the time you have to focus on getting information, and then it's okay to learn in the language you're comfortable in. Okay, yes, Yaakov.
So I don't remember if I said it, but one of the main questions I have for myself including information...
Wait. Let's cover more ground, and then we'll deal with questions. First, make sure everyone else got, then we'll see if there's any left. Okay, so now that we've covered all the things that are more or less pleasant to talk about, I'm going to tell you something that our generation doesn't like to hear. But it is one of the key points to succeeding in learning. Okay? It's called bedtime. I'm very serious. We could talk about consistency. We can talk about order. We could talk about coming to class on time. We can talk about being consistent in the classes you go to. But you should know, Rav Kanievsky is quoted as having said, that the axis that your whole day revolves around is the time you go to sleep. And our generation is so bad at it. We have so many distractions. Once upon a time, you wanted to surf. You waited for waves. Today you could surf and you don't need waves. We spend time on the phone. We spend time chatting. We do all kinds of wonderful things that devour our time, and we avoid that so important thing called going to sleep. And it's so important. People who go to sleep on time are calmer, are happier, are more productive, are more focused. I wonder if the tremendous influx of cases of children with special education needs is not connected to children not going to sleep on time. How could you focus if you haven't slept well? You know, they had an interview with Rabbi Herschel Schachter of Yeshiva University. And one of the students asked him, "What do you do when you have a bad day?" So he answered, his answer seemed funny at first. He said, "A bad day? I try not to have a bad day." They said, "Well, how do you learn when you have a bad day?" He says, "Well, generally a bad day means I didn't get a good night's sleep. So then I go and make up the sleep I'm missing so that I could continue having a good day." You hear that? What's a bad day? If I didn't sleep well, then obviously I'm not going to be focused the way I should in my learning. Now, if we would do that, we might never get out of bed before 11 o'clock in the morning, right? Let me make up the sleep I'm missing. So the key is to change your habits.
What did you say he did? Took a midday nap?
I'm saying if he sees that he can't learn because he's not focused because he didn't get the sleep the way he should. So he makes it up. Moshe, even if you're not going to buy this point, there are still many other points that are relevant. I told you I'm going to begin with something difficult. In my last thought, this is important.
What are you saying? I should go to sleep.
Okay, Moshe. Sleep well and learn well. I wish you good luck. So I recommend you keep a log. If you keep a log of when you went to sleep, just write down the time. So very often that helps us. That's enough of a drive. If next to your bed, you right above your bed, you tape a piece of paper and you write down the days of the week and you tape a pen. So you have a pen there, you know, a string with a pen. And every night you just write down when you're going to sleep. Log in the time. That little action will very often arouse us to realize, hey, look at what I did this week. I went to sleep at 1, I went to sleep at 12, I went to sleep at 2. Of course I couldn't focus the next morning. We tend to ignore it. We tend to overlook it. We don't give it enough importance. We should think about which foods affect our capacity to be focused, tired, or awake. You wake up in the morning and you eat sweet stuff, it's going to knock you out. Try eating salty in the morning. You drink a cup of coffee at night, so then maybe that's why you weren't able to fall asleep. You were in bed for 20 minutes and you couldn't fall asleep because your roommate was playing the harmonica and he's very off key, so maybe you have to talk to him about it. Maybe you have to find a solution. Maybe you have to switch rooms. But by keeping a log, you eventually have something to look back on. You start seeing a pattern and then you can alter that pattern. This is one of the greatest weaknesses of our generation. We don't know how to get to bed on time. So I used to run the Thursday night classes till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. We would sometimes end by going to the Kotel to daven in the morning, and then everyone would go to sleep. And then Rav Dani Sharchaton said to me, "You're not doing the guys a favor. End earlier. The guys have to get used to getting to bed on time, getting up on time, davening on time. End earlier. At night, you're not thinking about sleep. You're just thinking about the learning. But think about the next morning. Who's going to get up for davening?" So I listened to him. And ever since then, our classes end the latest at 1. We usually, we're going to end in 5 minutes at 10:30. But you also have to go. We all have to go. We have to get to bed. When we speak about having an order in our learning, the first thing you have to try to do is get an order in your sleeping habits. That's number one. Number two, give yourself a minimum. Demand of yourself. Your demand could be, "I will be consistent going to Gemara Shir." Your demand can be, "I will wake up for Shachris every morning." You could say, "I can't do that, okay, so I'll make it to Shachris 2 days a week. I'll make it to Shachris 3 days a week. Let me build my way up." Again, keeping a log is one of the most healthy things you can do. And don't do it on a piece of scrap paper. Get yourself a notebook, get yourself something that won't get lost, and keep a log and see what you're doing. And then be on top of it. So try to make demands of yourself for consistency. When you have a class that you come once and miss twice, and come once and miss twice, it's very hard to grow. So you need consistency. You need to try and be consistent in a class. It's true that here at Machon Meir, we try to make the classes so that you can benefit, even if you're new to the Machon, being that we let people come at all dates of the year. So we have to fashion our classes in a way that you could join. But at the end of the day, it's not the same thing. Those of you who are here tonight, and you did chapter 1 of Ezekiel, have the basis for continuing the chapter. Someone who's going to walk into the next class next Thursday will not have the basis that you have. Now you can build on that. Growth in Torah is exponential when you build consistently. So the key here is to try and keep an order, and that's what I showed you. To get these little place marks, the place mark indicates I plan on coming back. I'm not just opening this book, I'm reading 10 verses, and who knows when I'm coming back to the book. There's no reason to start 15 different books. Let me start the books that I will conquer. Let me put a bookmark and slowly I will conquer them. Okay, so order. consistency. And again, work your way up. Don't make your high demands of yourself, but work your way up. Tell yourself, "I'll be consistent for Mincha. I won't miss Mincha at all this week. I'll be consistent for Ma'aretz. I won't miss Sfirat HaOmer. And Shacharis, I'll work on." So I'll demand of myself once a week, twice a week, and I'll work my way up. Okay, one of the things that most Americans don't do and few Europeans do is to take notes. Now, if a class is clear, so then as you're listening, everything seems obvious. But if you have notes, writing notes, the Kaf HaChaim writes, is like reviewing it 5 times. When you write notes, writing is like reviewing 5 times. And when you write notes, then at the end of the day, in 5 minutes, you can review almost everything you learned that day. And at the end of the week, you can review everything you learned in the week. You have what to do Friday Shabbos. In 2 hours, you could review a whole week. And then you end up knowing your stuff. You can have the Machon Meir experience the way 90% of the students do. They listen to the classes, they enjoy, they love it, it's great, it was amazing, and they lose 85% of the information. You can't retain the amount of information that we cover here is tremendous. So there's no way you can retain it. How many things did we discuss about Ezekiel? We discussed prophets aren't necessarily in order. We discussed prophets only in Israel. We discussed the Michilta, that only happened when they entered the land of Israel. We discussed Joshua being a messenger of Moshe. We discussed Buzi. We discussed who the Aruch was. We discussed that Rashi used the book of the Aruch. I'm just giving you in a short class on Ezekiel before we touch the book of Ezekiel. We covered so many concepts. Then you go into the book and the discussions we had there. We discussed the concept of Torah, Ani'im, B'Makom Chad, Ashrim, B'Makom Acher, that Torah is sometimes You don't find the definition of what you're looking for here, but as you continue learning over time, you'll find it somewhere else. So these are, we just touched on 7 or 8 subjects that we covered, concepts that we covered within Ezekiel. There's no way you're remembering those. Yeah, in the foggy recesses of your mind right now, it sounds familiar. But let's talk about it tomorrow. And do you want to master those concepts? Well, then you'll write them down. So notice that no one even has notes in this classroom except for one person who happens to be European, right? Two people. And where are you from? The United States? New Jersey. Wow. Okay. There are always exceptions. Two people. Okay. But that's usually the way things go. So at any rate, if you take notes, you will have something to review and you will engrave in your mind what you've studied. The next thing is a review. When class ends, the first thing you want to do is clear your mind and go for a break. First thing you should do is take 5 minutes to review what you just learned. If you review it, then you're mastering it. If as you lie down and try to fall asleep, you try to review, what did I learn today? It always boggles my mind how I could lie in bed and I don't remember a thing. I don't even remember the subjects I learned today. But then I get out of bed, a little bit frustrated, and I start leafing through the books I learned during the day. And I say, ooh, now I remember that. Now I could lie down. And in my mind, I start reviewing what I learned today. But when I lie down in bed and I try to review what did I learn today, I don't remember a thing. Don't know. What masechta did I learn today? What subject did I learn today? Okay, but that review, as you're falling asleep, again, that locks it into your heart. So reviewing, if you want to get out of your learning, reviewing is a key factor. Those are quick tips as far as information. Your free time, it's important to take breaks and rest. Rest does not mean surf the web. Rest means go for a walk. Rest means do exercise. Rest means talk to friends. Rest means lie down and daydream. Rest does not mean sit on the internet or watch a movie. Rest does not mean sit on the internet or watch a movie. Did you guys register? Rest does not mean sit on the internet or watch a movie. I'm not talking religiously now. I'm talking intellectually. You want your mind to rest. Vegetation is not rest. Sitting there in front of a screen, vegetating about the stuff that's not so important and reading articles about the day's news, that's not rest. You're not letting your mind really rest. You want to let your mind rest, go for a walk. Again, I'm talking as an educator now. I'm not talking from a religious perspective. If you really want to walk away rejuvenated and ready to start again, go on a trip. Go do some exercise. Go for a walk. Go talk to some friends. That's a break. Sitting on the computer is not a break. And when you walk away from the computer, you are not rejuvenated. You are not ready to focus on more Torah. And that's best case scenario. We won't talk about all the pitfalls that are waiting for you online. I'm not even talking about that. Assuming you did not do anything improper online, but you didn't take a break. So, most people do not take enough breaks in their days. I didn't say most people are too productive. I said most people don't take enough breaks. People are not as productive as they can be, but part of the reason is because they're not really taking breaks. Take a real break. Go for a walk.
Smoke. You don't smoke anyway.
Hear a good joke. Yeah. There you go. Hear a good joke. Yeah. That's also a good break.
How much time is it?
A good break?
A good break.
Most people cannot learn more than 45 minutes. Without taking a break of about 10 to 15 minutes. That's the focus most people can have. The prime time for a shiur is about 35 minutes. Once you pass the 35-minute mark, it's very hard for people to hold their attention. And at about 45 minutes, people really need that break. And again, if it's a good break, so then 10 minutes will let you focus another 45 minutes to an hour. And when you know you're going to have that break, then you can maximize your focus. Most people lose their focus after 45 minutes. I'm not saying you should walk out on your Gemara class after 45 minutes. You did not hear that here. But I am saying that when you set up your own learning, take breaks.
Wait, what happened to the 10:30.
Now, the key here is also to end the break. Sometimes you go out for a coffee break and it doesn't end. Right? And then your Seder is the break of the coffee break, right? Your Seder is in the coffee room and the break is when you walk into Beis Medrash. No, that's not the idea. Okay, there are many more things to discuss, but Moshe is reminding us that we're already on overtime. So arrange your questions, and Bezat Hashem, next Thursday we'll do part two to this.
Okay? We have to do
questions for a whole week? No, there is one on one time, and you're cordially invited.